Welcome to the Wetoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we explore scripture and delve into the Word of God.
You know, there's something I want to share with you that really has burned in my heart as I've considered this theme for the year. And I'm reminded of the great prophet Elijah, the greatest prophet of the Old Testament. In 1 Kings chapter 18, we see him step onto the mountain with all of the prophets of Baal surrounding him, and he calls upon God to answer by fire, and he says to those who have come to represent false gods in a season of darkness in the nation of Israel, let the God who is truly God answer by fire. And if you read carefully that passage, what you'll find is that God, after a short prayer that Elijah prays, sends the fire of heaven down and consumes the sacrifice and the altar and the water that was spread around. What a moment. What a moment of bold faith. What a moment of courage and strength. And often we see those kind of moments and then we look at our lives and we see the things that we're dealing with, the things that we're going through, the seasons that we are in our own life, and we say, how could I ever be like Elijah, the great man of God? Pastor, I hear the vision, but I also know where I'm at today. And I want you to know that chapter 18 is wonderful, but chapter 17 is so important. The reason why is because it shows us the pathway to this strong, bold, and courageous faith that we see in Elijah's life. I want to back up with you in time. Go back to 1 Kings chapter 17 for just a few moments. And as we look through chapter 17, what we're going to begin to discover is that Elijah had to walk a pathway of great faith. And friends, if you want to apprehend the vision God has placed in your hearts upon your church this year, I want you to know you're going to have to walk the path of great faith. And so as we open up the scene in chapter 17 of 1 Kings, what we know to be true is that the nation of Israel is in a very dark time. They have been under the rule of 19 consecutive evil kings. And these 19 consecutive evil kings have absolute power. Can you imagine growing up in a nation like that? Can you imagine living under that kind of regime, under that kind of oppression and moral decay? That's exactly where the nation of Israel was for 200 years. King Ahab was the ruling king at the time, and the Bible says that he did more evil in the sight of God than any of the kings before him. So in the consecutive kings, these 19 kings, Ahab was the worst. Not only that, he was married to Jezebel, who many would believe was the very most evil woman who ever walked the face of the earth. It was a dark time in the nation of Israel, and God in his mercy said, it's enough. We're done with this. Something has to change. But you know what's interesting is that God didn't send an army. He didn't send a huge party of warring tribes. He sent a single man on a mission, and this man was Elijah. And I just want to say, you might be here today. Might be someone here today. And God's calling you to be the one to take a stand in your classroom at school. You might be the one who God's calling to join the political arena and to be a voice for morality in your own nation. You might be the one who's saying, I'm a businessman and I'm going to practice business ethically even when there is many unethical practices going on around me. Sometimes God chooses a single person who will stand with boldness, with strength, and with courage. So let's pick up the story. As Elijah begins to step onto the scene, we hear from him first in 1 Kings chapter 17. In verse 1 it says, now Elijah, the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead, said to Ahab, as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. It is a treasure and a gift. And we thank you that from your word, we learn how to follow your way. We learn to see the patterns of faith that have been laid out for us to learn from. And I pray today, Lord, that as we look at the great prophet Elijah, would you speak to us about our own lives? Speak to us about our great church. And speak to us about the mission and the vision that you've placed upon us. Lord, we thank you for opening your word through your spirit that we might live in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So Elijah steps on the scene as someone who's an unknown person with a prophetic message that's actually a strategic, prophetic judgment against the land. And it was not a small thing. He said for a very long time, and it ended up being 3 full years, there will be neither dew nor rain. You see, this was an agricultural time in history, and this, Israel, was an agricultural nation. So can you imagine what it would mean to not have rain for 3 years? Can you imagine what this would mean for the economy? Everybody have lost all their jobs. Nobody has food to eat. Everyone is starving. Everyone is dying of thirst and hunger. Animals are collapsing. The economy is completely destroyed. That would mean that living in today's age, that we would have no gas for our cars. We would have no way to get any transport. We would have no electricity. There would be no resources left for us. Life as we know it would be coming to an end. A strategic, prophetic judgment. What boldness, what strength, what courage, what a tremendous act. And so you might think that at this point, God will bless him and elevate him and release him to new heights. But what we learn is that God is just beginning to take Elijah on the path of great faith. And what we learn is that God wants to do so much through him. And in order for him to do all the things that he wants to do through the life of Elijah, he first has to do a deep work in him. And friends, that's the same for your life. That's the same for you. God wants to do great things through you. And in order for that to take place, he's going to have to do a deep work in you. So let's journey with Elijah. Let's walk with him as he goes down the path of great faith. And let's see what God might have to say about our own lives. You see, in this time, it's quite incredible. Rather than being elevated to the stage, God hides Elijah away. He takes him to a place of isolation. And when you want to walk the path of great faith, you must understand that there will be seasons of personal pain where you might feel it deeply, just like Elijah did, where all of the sudden things begin to change in your life. And all of the sudden, what you once began to hold on to can no longer be held on to. And as Elijah walks into this season of pain, here's what the Lord says to him in verse 2. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, "Leave here, turn eastward, and hide in the Kereth ravine east of the Jordan." God sends him somewhere. It's not to the palace. It's not to the high office or authority. He sends him to the place of obscurity where he's very alone. He's in the place of private pain, hurting, alone. This word Kereth is an important word. It's a Hebrew word that means to be cut down. It means to be chopped down like one would chop down a tree. It means to be cut off from the good, to be cut off from the blessing. And God takes him to the Kereth ravine to literally cut things out of his life, so that he can be exactly what God needs him to be. He's going to take him through a season of breaking. He's going to teach him to be completely dependent on God and God alone. And he's going to give him opportunity to grow as he humbles him privately so that he might use him publicly. Have you ever been to the Kereth Ravine? Have you ever felt a season of pain where it felt like things were just being cut away? Maybe things that you depended on, things that you hoped for, things that you relied upon. Maybe in those seasons you've been tempted to ask God, "God, where are you in the middle of this season?" Sometimes when we're facing those kind of times, we can feel like we're there even right now today. And maybe that's where you're at, where you feel alone and isolated. You feel like life is painful. And I know that those times can be difficult. You can't depend on the things that you once depended on, but I want you to know this. God wants to say to you today, understand something. I'm doing a work. God is doing a work in those times. He's teaching you things that you otherwise could not learn. You only learn them in these times of deep pain. You know, in our school system in Canada, the students have a regular teacher. Maybe that's the same here. They have a teacher that they have kind of day to day, week to week. But then sometimes that teacher is ill or that teacher has something else going on and they bring in a substitute teacher. And I can tell you, when my kids come home from school and I ask them, "How was school today?" They say, "Oh, we had a substitute." I'm sorry, if you're a substitute teacher in here, may God bless you, but the children do not like you. And the reason why is because you don't know their name, you don't know what they've been studying. But one thing I've learned is every time my child has a substitute, she comes home and she will tell me, hey, you know what my substitute teacher said? Hey, you know what we learned today? We weren't doing the lesson plan, but we did this and it was interesting. And I want you to know that pain is an excellent substitute teacher. Nobody wants it. Nobody's looking for it. Everybody wants to avoid. But when that person comes, there's something for you to learn. There's something deep. There's something new. And so Elijah was in this place with the substitute teacher for 3 whole months, alone, isolated, no one to talk to but God. And here's what I want you to know, that those places of breaking are actually places of blessing. I want you to think about what Jesus said. He said, unless a seed falls into the ground and dies, it remains only a seed. But if it dies, it produces a harvest. Are you seeing it today? Are you seeing it today? In the breaking, there's a blessing. Think about your Savior, Jesus, and what he did for you on Calvary's cross. Think about his life poured out, broken and bleeding and dying for us. And because of that, redemption for the world has come. Hallelujah. Listen, sometimes we think that when we are in those times of pain that our lives are being ruined. I want you to know that if you put your life in the hands of God, you're not being ruined. You're simply being molded. And although it's painful, God is making something of your life because the breaking is a blessing. Can I get an amen in the house today? I want you to see the second leg of his journey, because there he is in the Kereth Ravine. He's in this place where he feels like it's a season of private pain, and God begins to give him direction. And I want you to see this now in the first few verses as the goodness of God comes on the path of great faith, because the second leg of the journey on this path of great faith is a season of total dependence. Total dependence. Nothing else to depend upon but God and God alone. Look at verse 4 with me. It says, you will drink from the brook, and I have ordered the ravens to feed you there. And so he, speaking of Elijah, did what the Lord had told him. He went to the Kereth Ravine east of the Jordan and stayed there. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. You see, Elijah didn't have anything else to depend on but God and God alone. But I love the way our God works in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of a drought, in the middle of a famine. He supernaturally provides for Elijah. Isn't God good? Oh, come on, we feel it today. This is the wonderful thing about our God. He might lead you to the Kereth Ravine, but while you're there, he's going to look after you. He's going to take care of you there. He's going to provide for you there. He gives him water to drink, and he gives him a catered meal twice a day delivered by airmail. Here it comes, dropping in his lap in the middle of the desolation. God is so faithful. And there's a word for you here today. There's a word for your heart today. Very clearly, very distinctly, God placed in the word this story so that you might know that no matter what you're going through, forever and ever, your God will be faithful. You can trust him. Maybe you're facing a situation right now, and that's the word that you need for your heart. I'm reminded of the single woman who was raising her children alone, and money was very tight. Often she would come to the end of the month and things would not be good. There'd be no food to eat, and she relied on prayer. She was totally dependent upon God, and one day she was crying out to the Lord, as she would often do. She was praying. I think she might have been a little bit of a Pentecostal person. She might have had a little bit of a skip in her step and a strength in her voice as she was calling out to God to believe for provision. Well, next door to her lived an atheist man who often would hear her praying. And anytime he would catch her in the hall of their apartment building, he would say to her, listen, God is not real and he does not hear you. Why do you keep on praying? Well, she just went on and on continuing to pray. And in this particular time, things were really tough. So she was calling out to God. And she said, God, we need provision. We need food. God, would you send food? Well, this atheist man next door became frustrated. And he said, that's it. And so he went out and he went to the store and he bought her two big bags full of groceries. He brought it to her door and he knocks on the door and he runs around the corner to hide. And as she opens the door, she sees the provision and she says, "Oh, yes, thank you, God." And then this man jumps out and says, "Hey, I just want you to know that wasn't your God that provided that for you. I bought those groceries." She looked down at the food. She looked over at the man. She looked down at the food and she looked up to heaven and she said, "God, thank you for providing for me and making the devil pay the bill." Forever and ever, forever and ever, your God will be faithful. Amen. Forever and ever, he will be your provider. You can trust him today. When you can't depend on anything else, you can depend on your God. If you're hurting, if you're alone, if you're in need, if you're afraid, you can trust your God to give you enough. Now, he might not give you everything you want, but he'll give you exactly what you need. You see, Elijah had to patiently wait twice a day for God's provision. It would have been nice if he just would have dropped him a month's supply, but that's not what God did. Meal by meal, moment by moment, hour by hour, God faithfully provided. What do you need from the Lord? Are you lonely? He says, "I'll be your friend, a friend that sticks closer than the brother." Are you hurting? He'll be your comfort. Are you in a season of difficulty and loneliness? He's there for you. You may say, "I don't have much," but God says, "I'll give you exactly what you need." And so now we're on to the third leg of the journey. From a season of personal pain, through the valley and the difficulty of total dependence. And now Elijah steps into the third leg of the journey on the great path of faith. And it's a season of unconditional obedience. Look at what God says next. In verse 7, it says, "Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, 'Go at once to Zarephath in Sidon and stay there. I've commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food.'" Is anybody reading what I'm reading? Are you seeing what I'm seeing? God provides, and then the brook dries up. Imagine this from Elijah's perspective. Some of you have experienced this provision from God that then just simply dries up. Can you imagine from Elijah's perspective, maybe a little question, maybe a slight doubt? "God, didn't you bring me here? God, didn't you provide this water? Lord, wasn't this me being obedient and trusting you? Did I miss something? Did I go the wrong way? Was my purpose in all of this? Did I miss you the first time? Am I hearing you right?" Sometimes when the provision dries up, we have question. Where's God? But you know what I've learned? I've learned that when God dries up the provision, it's because he has provision for us somewhere else. What I've learned is that sometimes when the provision dries up, that's a gift from God to give you courage to go where he's leading you. And that's exactly the story here. You see, because God had somewhere that Elijah needed to go. So when your brook dries up, when you feel like life hasn't worked out, when the finances aren't there, when the friendships evaporate, when the intimacy with God seems stale, when the dreams die, when the career plans are failing, and you feel like the brook has dried up, just remember, God might be giving you a gift of courage to move forward. That's why I love the theme, Pastor. That's why I love it so much. Bold, strong, courageous, because that's the path of great faith, and that's where God's leading you as a church. I was in the mall by our hotel, and I noticed that in the cinema that there was an advertisement for a new Karate Kid movie. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever seen the old Karate Kid movies, but I like them. And I like the original one. The one with the boy, his name was Daniel. And this boy was being beat up, and he didn't know how to defend himself. And a man who knew karate came to rescue him. And he said, "Can you teach me karate?" So Mr. Miyagi says, yes, I'll teach you karate. And so Daniel goes there to learn karate on the first day. And if you've seen the movie, you know what happens. I'm sorry to spoil it if you haven't seen it. But he says to him, okay, good, you want to learn karate? Here, take this wax and take this cloth and go and wax my cars. And Daniel thinks, I thought I was learning karate. And he says, I want you to wax on and wax off. Anybody remember the movie? And then he does that all day, and he comes back tired, and he says, okay, can I learn some karate now? And he says, sure. Here you go. Take this, and I want you to take this sanding block, and I want you to sand the floors. Sand the floors. Sand the floors. He sands all of Mr. Miyagi's floors. He's starting to feel a little bit curious, like, what is all this about? I don't see what I'm doing. I came to learn karate. He says, can I learn karate now? And Mr. Miyagi says, yes, now you're going to paint the fence. And he says, you're going to paint it like this. Paint it up and down, up and down. And he paints all the fences. And by the end, Daniel is so frustrated. And he's saying, I didn't come here to do all of your work. I didn't come here to do all of your chores. I didn't come here to make your car shine and your fence beautiful and your floors smooth. That's not why I came to learn karate. And then Mr. Miyagi says, okay, show me the different things that you learn. Show me how to wax the car. And so he starts to do the moves, and Mr. Miyagi corrects his hands, and then Mr. Miyagi starts to throw these karate punches, and Daniel's blocking them. This one and this one and this one and this one, and then woo, right? 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 Yeah? Yeah? It all comes together. All of a sudden, the things that didn't seem to make sense, they come together. And friends, that's a picture of the story of Elijah, because God has a way of bringing it all together. He has a way of taking all those things that you're confused about, that don't seem to make sense, that don't seem to be leading you in the direction that you're supposed to go, and he brings them all together for his glory. So what we read here is that Elijah has to move, and he has to go to Zarephath, which wasn't even in Israel. He has to go across 50 miles across the territory where he's a wanted man. But God leads him there, and he goes, and he meets a widow there. And he does miracles through Elijah's life. The oil never runs out, and the meals continue to be there in the middle of this famine. And then the little boy that was the widow's only son dies. And Elijah stretches out his body over this little boy who has died and prays to God. And the first ever recorded miracle of someone being raised from the dead in the Bible happens as a result of Elijah's obedience. You see, what happens when we choose to go into the obedient places that God leads us after the brook dries up and we go to places we don't know what God is going to do, I want you to know, we might be going into the ravine of the cutting. We might be traversing in through the mountains of total dependence. We might be on the path and the road that leads through unconditional obedience, but it's because God wants to do so much with your life that he has to do something great and deep in you. Can you trust Jesus? Can you trust the Lord? Can you trust that what he has for you is good? Can you trust that he's leading you, church, and he's leading you, individual person? He's leading you, those of you watching online and on air, he's leading you into that strength, that boldness, that courage that God has called you to in this coming year. Do you identify with the story? If you do, I want to encourage you with one last picture. At the beginning, when we started reading in chapter 17, the Bible introduces us to Elijah as the Tishbite from Tishbe. Does anybody know where Tishbe is? Me neither. And I think that's the point. You see, God starts with this man who was a nobody from nowhere. And I'm encouraged by that because I want you to know I'm a nobody from nowhere. And God can use my life. And you might feel like, man, nobody knows my name. Nobody knows where I'm from. Nobody knows my story. But I want you to know, God can use you when you walk the path of great faith. He wants to use you. So at the end of the story, we get to the end of chapter 17, and we're about to see all of the dramatics, all the fireworks of chapter 18, where God shows up in power. And we read this verse at the very end of chapter 17. Then the woman said to Elijah, now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord from your mouth is the truth. Elijah went from a nobody from nowhere to the man of God with the word of God for the nation of God. Praise the Lord. That's powerful. That's powerful. That's the path of great faith. You see, God does want to do so much with you at Toto Church. God wants to move so powerfully in your life and through you. Will you trust him to take you on the journey? Will you trust him that there is a boldness and a strength and a courage for you that comes as a result of walking the path of great faith? I want to pray with you, church. Would you bow with me for just a moment? Those of you watching online, will you allow me to just pray for you and encourage you today? As you're watching on air as well, just allow me to encourage you today. I believe that God has great acts of faith waiting for you, church. I believe the Lord wants to use your life in such a significant way. And here's what needs to happen. You need to address what's happening in your own heart in the season that you're currently in. Are you here today and you're wrestling with the pain? You're hurting. There's a loneliness. There's an ache. There's a need, and it's deep. And you're feeling like you just can't make it through. I want you to know, trust Jesus. Trust him in the middle of the pain. He's leading you. Your pain is there to teach you something that otherwise you could not learn. Can you believe for that? Can you trust God for that? Maybe for you, someone here today, there's a need for you to just be totally dependent upon him. And he's given you an opportunity to trust him in a new way. Would you do that today? Would you do that today? Would you be obedient to him today? Maybe that's where you're at. It's about obedience. I think there's some that God's calling to start that new cell group. God's calling you to step into a new neighborhood ministry. God's calling you to speak that word with boldness. God's calling you to stand up for what's right and true. God's calling you to a life of greater faith and a greater morality and a greater impact. Will you trust him? Will you trust him? And as we continue to pray, I wonder if there's someone here today who says, I don't have a living relationship with the living God through Jesus Christ. I want you to know that great faith begins with faith in Jesus. Are you here today and you need to know him? Are you watching online and you need to make your life right with God? I want you to know the person of Jesus is our Savior. He wants to reach you. He wants to love you. He wants to give you hope. He wants to give you a faith that will allow you to walk through life's challenges. But even so, there might be someone here today, and those of you watching online who say, I'm ready to give my life to Christ. Come on, if you're in the house today and you say, it's my day to give my life to Jesus, why don't you just lift up your hand? I want to pray for you today. It's my day, and I'm giving my life to Christ. Come on, let's pray for these that are lifting their hands up. Maybe you're at home today and you're watching. Listen, this is your moment. Extend your life to Jesus. Here's what the Bible says. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so I pray right now in Jesus' name for those who have lifted a hand, those who are lifting their hearts, those who are saying, Jesus, see me today exactly where I'm at. Rescue me. I call on your name that I might be saved. Forgive me of my sin. I lay my old life down and I choose a life of faith in Christ. Thank you for transforming me. Thank you for leading me. And thank you for helping me to find my way as I trust in you, Jesus. And Lord, for all of us, for wherever we are on the journey of great faith, I pray through your Holy Spirit you would breathe upon us with clarity and with direction, that we might walk the path of great faith into boldness, into strength, and into courage. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray together. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you, church.
Thank you for listening. We hope this encourages you to step into the new. Tune in next time as we delve into the Word of God. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@wototochurch.com. Hey,